On July 7th, 2020, at 4:30 a.m., my husband, Brad, was in a cycling accident. He survived, but with a traumatic brain injury. Hi, I'm Alyssa Cousins, your host of Self-Care Spotlight. Since 2017, I've been dedicated to real talk self-care. And this season, we're focusing on one healing modality, writing, specifically poetry. Welcome to the Poetic Healing Series. I'm currently writing my first poetry memoir about this journey. But in the meantime, I want to highlight the poets and poetess out there who are sharing the messy human experience through the art and catharsis of beautiful words. Because the world needs healing and hope and human relating more than ever. So every week, you'll hear a different conversation with one of today's well-known poetry authors on poems to heal racial injustice, sexual empowerment, to using your voice, love, and so much more. As a bonus, they'll share some pieces with spoken word. I am not here to be a poet. I am here to feel my feelings and thus maybe help you feel yours. The flower does not try to survive winter. It changes and tumbles and retreats so that when springtime rains, it may bud and bloom once again. And that comes from today's guest, C.M. Ryder. Welcome back, friend. Today I'm bringing you an up-and-coming author who I just know is going places. I can't recall how I stumbled upon her on the gram, but at just 19 years old, she's my youngest guest ever to date, and I really loved getting the opportunity to hear from a writer of a younger generation as a snapshot into their lens of the world, this crazy world that we're in. And it's also crazy to me that I am now of a different generation than this person. So, a little about CM. C.M. Ryder, also known as Cassandra or Cassie Mackenzie Wood, is a young Canadian poet and storyteller. Cassandra's collection includes two poetry compilations, The Roots of a Goddess and Wonder of the Cosmos, as well as an international women's empowerment collaboration, Paint Us Red. Along with these works, she is committed to sharing daily poetry on her Instagram platform, cm.ryder. With the power of her words, Cassandra hopes to inspire authenticity, spread mental health awareness, and advocate for social issues that impact the world today. And with all of that, here is our conversation for Poetic Healing. Okay, we're here, we're recording. We're back on. I am dusting off the cobwebs here. I have not done an interview for this podcast since April or March of 2020. So I am truly dusting off the cobwebs with this. So with all that being said, thank you so much. Do you want to be called Cassandra or Cassie? What do you go by?
Cassie is perfect.
Cassie. Okay. Cassie Wood, thank you so much. The poetess Cassie Wood, thank you so much for being on Self-Care Spotlight.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here today and share a little bit about myself and my poetry journey with you.
Absolutely. So I like to get right into things. And, you know, I'm super excited about this. I mean, I genuinely feel like I kept telling my husband, Brad, I said, I am so excited to do an interview again. I have been, I've been out of the loop with podcast land. I just need to dust off the cobwebs. I love having good, juicy, real conversations with people. And quite frankly, especially the world, we're still in this pandemic world. So our bubbles of like who we can actually have juicy, good conversations with feels a little limited, right?
Totally.
So I feel like my heart is really craving to have a really beautiful, like, human connection conversation that we all, I think, are desiring a lot. And not necessarily with people we even know, right? I think some of the best conversations are with strangers. And you can just, you know, really tap into each other's humanness. And we're going to be talking about, you know, this series is called Poetic Healing. And I chose that very intentionally because I feel that the medium, the expressive medium of poetry, is a very healing thing. And, you know, it can create the conversations I'm hoping that come out of this truly can touch people and people can resonate with them and understand you better as a human, me better as a human, themselves, most importantly, better, and how to be a human in this crazy life in a way that keeps us sane and happy. So I digress. I have a question for you that I'm noticing a theme, and I'd love for you to, like I said, I just want to go right in. So I'm going to pull up my phone here only because I'm looking at something that you recently posted.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So, Cassie, you just wrote, this was literally, let's see, this was 20 hours ago. Be patient with yourself. It took 13 billion years to create the wonders of the cosmos. Sometimes the most extraordinary things take time. Page 209 from your book, one of your books, Wonder of the Cosmos. And then I also noticed in your stories, there seemed to be a little bit of a theme that was similar to having patience and like this idea of wanting to bloom, maybe bloom faster. So what's kind of on your brain? What's on your heart right now the past 24 hours that was coming through and you were sharing that?
Well, that's honestly one of the most important themes that I like to share with the world. The poem that you read is actually the final piece from Wonder of the Cosmos. It wraps up the entire book. And in essence, Wonder of the Cosmos is about a journey of embracing change. And that final poem is meant to emphasize that you don't need to change right away. You can have patience with yourself on the journey because oftentimes there is so much pressure to get to the end of the journey right away when the most meaningful stuff actually happens in between those two things. Mm-hmm. And so I love to share that with my followers and people who read poetry because it's really meaningful to anyone. We're all going on these personal journeys, whoever you are. And regardless, there's pressure to reach the end, pressure to be accomplished, pressure to become who you're meant to be. But really, life is a journey. It's not about the destination.
Mm-hmm. Right. As cliche as that, like, whole sentence, you know, like, oh, it's not about the destination.
Yes.
But yet it's there's a reason it's a cliche, because it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I find my, you know, even myself, I've, you know, you've already been a part of three books now. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the middle of writing my first, what I'm calling a poetry memoir. I don't really know what else to call it. Because it is very heavily based on like the theme of my husband's traumatic brain injury and recovery, you know, my, as the caregiver, like healing from all of that. So I found even myself, you know, I look at that and I go, what is she talking about? She is golden. Like, she's got three books already. Like, I'm over here like, I just started. So I love that, you know, even though, again, from my outside perspective, but like, you know, you're like, you're saying, no, like, I feel that too. I know how that feels. And just breathe. Just breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good. It's all good. Okay. I am going to, because I forgot, and I want to record you on your video too. So I'm going to record you on my cloud too for Zoom so everyone can see your beautiful face if they want to instead of podcast land. I'm going to do inception of both. Okay. So thank you for sharing that because I thought, you know what? That's very present, obviously, because she just put it on her Instagram. And if it's on the IG, it must be real.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I have to ask, and I'm going to ask everybody this question. I want to know the story behind what got you to writing poetry. Of all of the forms of creative writing, writing in general, just expressive mediums, right? What brought you to writing poetry? I guess it's really the why poetry. That's what I want to know. Because everyone has a different story for getting here. Mine being, I didn't write poetry till my husband's TBI. And then it just poured out of me. Like I had to do it to live. So I want to know, what's your why poetry? I'm so curious. I love hearing these stories.
Okay, well, I've always loved creative writing as a whole since I was very young. But the funny thing is that I actually did not like poetry until about the 10th grade. Like, if you had asked me in middle school if I like poetry, I'd be like, no, I would never write poetry. And I've done a complete 180 since then. Mm-hmm. And I think what really changed inside of me was in the 10th grade, I struggled with my mental health. Mm. And I struggled with how to communicate that with others and how to be honest with myself, with how I was feeling. Mm. And what I discovered was that poetry is very cathartic. It's almost like a window into your soul. And like, the piece of paper is not going to judge you for what you write on it. Mm-hmm. So it was very healing for me to be able to be completely authentic with how I was feeling. And honestly, poetry is what helped me get to where I am today with my mental health. I'm the happiest I've ever been, and it's because of poetry.
Mm. So do you mind me asking, you know, going back then to when you were in 10th grade, which is just a hard time for a lot of people in their life. I think if they look back on high school years, it's hard. And it's only getting harder for, I am 30 and I'm sure I feel like it might even be harder now for kids that are in high school with social media. And it's just, I can't imagine being a teenager right now. I can't. What were you struggling with at the time? What was your biggest pain point?
There was a lot of things. Where I'm from, high school starts in the 10th grade, so it was just a year of change. Mm. My brother was going to university, so he moved out. There was a lot of things going on with our family and like health. Mm. And then I was just dealing with who I was as a person. Like, I was not sure of who I wanted to be, not sure who I was. I was unsure about my purpose, and I'm a very introspective person. And so when I came short with any answers, that was really troubling for me. Mm-hmm. And so it was like this lack of purpose. Like, what was I doing here? And so obviously that's not good. However, through poetry, I was able to find answers to these things that really helped me heal. But during that time, I was not doing too well. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of depressive thoughts and anxiety. Mm-hmm. But since then, poetry, again, has been like a gateway to healing for me.
Right, because it's your voice.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really actually expressing your innermost feelings. I always wonder about this. Like, it's like, why does poetry do that? I had someone comment on a piece I wrote, and she was like, this is exactly how I've been feeling, but until I just saw it written in a poetic way, I now can actually understand that that's how I'm feeling. And it's so interesting because I don't know what that factor almost is, that magic that's in a poetic form of writing that isn't found in other forms necessarily. I don't know what that is. I don't think I have the answer, except for that maybe it just comes from like this deeper place and it's somewhat to the point, but it's beautiful. And I don't know what that juiciness is, but it just gets you. And honestly, the fact that you were having, I'm guessing are you an old soul?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a young woman and she's having some serious big thoughts. I wasn't having those thoughts in 10th grade. I don't recall. I was very studious and just straight A student. I wasn't thinking about my life's purpose at the time. That came later when I dropped out of grad school and was like, I'm going to go teach yoga. and left my master's program. That came a little bit later. So it just came for you sooner. Which kind of, that brings me right into what I wanted to ask you. It is, like we already said, okay, you're a young woman. You are 19 years old. And you're certainly the youngest person that I think I've actually ever had on the show.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So again, old soul. You're accomplished for being 19 years old with 3 books under your belt, which we're, of course, going to get to. You have written right in your bio, 19, and you also have written queer, she/they. And I wanted to know, why do you feel that that's so important that that is included right there in your bio? For all intents and purposes, this is like your business page. This is where all of your work is displayed. Why? I think for your generation especially, y'all are bold about it. I feel like there's just this generation. I'm a millennial and I do think that we're pretty cool. But then I also think that even like your generation, a little bit younger, is very much, I think, like, I'm putting it out there, and changing, wanting to change things. So I just want to know why you feel that's so important that those 2 particular points about you are in your bio.
Of course. Well, being queer is more than just a sexual orientation. Being queer connects you to a community of people. And if you don't put it in your bio, you can't be recognized as queer. For me, it's important because people will assume that you're straight unless you tell them otherwise in a lot of situations. Yes. So for me, it's important to just skip all the assumptions and get it out there because it's who I am at my core. And I think it's important for people to know that about me. It's a very abstract concept that goes beyond just who you like. It's who you are, how you see the world, the people you interact with, all these diverse things that are super beautiful. And so it's important for me to put that on my platform, just personally. Like, I'm not doing it so much for other people, but more for myself and just the idea of being authentic about who I am in all aspects of my life. And then with the pronouns, a lot of people from my generation put their pronouns in their bio because a lot of time, again, people will assume the wrong pronouns. Yeah. For me, I actually recently changed the she, her to she, they. Mm-hmm. And I identify as a woman. Like, I totally identify as a woman. And she, her pronouns are perfect for me. But the they is there to recognize that I don't necessarily identify with every feminine thing. Mm-hmm. And I like I'm human. That's that's what that is. At my fundamental core, I'm human. And I want people to know that I think that way. And that's who I am and how I view gender.
Right. And that just goes right back to your 10th grade self would be really... would really take heart in knowing that you were being authentic in that way and saying, this is me. Like, this is me. This is the human that I am. Because you were talking about, like, you felt like you didn't know who you were you going, what's my purpose? So really just, like, owning that in a place that feels as simple as your IG bio is actually a radical statement. And it's like, this is me. This is me. Mm-hmm. And I own that.
Yeah.
I think your 10th grade self would really love to know that.
I think she would.
Yeah, it's just like very full circle to me just hearing you say that.
Well, and like that's part of the reason why is because now that I'm in my first year of university, I look back and I realize I've become the person that I wish I had in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And that just further inspires me to be authentic and to be honest about who I am and mm-hmm. what I'm dealing with in life.
Right. So. And then it comes through, I'm sure, you know, in your work, wanting to talk about being authentic and, right, all of those kinds of themes that can come up in your writing. Does that come up a lot for you when you're writing? Do those themes feel really important to you?
Yes, I would say the two biggest themes in my writing is authenticity and vulnerability, mm-hmm. which I've come to learn actually go hand in hand. They're almost one and the same. Mm-hmm. To be authentic, you have to be vulnerable.
Absolutely. You literally just totally took my next question that I had for you. I was going to ask you, what do you think your voice is, you know, from your perspective? My book editor that I'm working with right now, like my structural book editor, Jana. I love you, Jana. she also happens to be a really good friend of mine before, but she also is a book editor. It was like the best.
Perfect.
And her, you know, she even is an author herself. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. She wrote a book, He Never Liked Cake. I'm just going to shout her out right now because it's about her father's journey with a TBI. I mean, mm-hmm. literally, this woman was plopped into my life to be my friend first and then my book editor. It just is like amazing that she's all the things and has the understanding. Anyway, I'm just having a love moment for that. you know, she told me she read the memoirs 1 year. And so I'm still writing up until July because that's when the accident happened. And so she was reading first of my pieces and she said, your voice sounds very haunting and very raw. And I took haunting as a compliment. I thought that was a very beautiful describing word. So I'm curious, what do you think your voice is? How does your voice sound or come off? If you could describe it.
I would hope it would be authentic, it would be honest, and empowering. Those would be the three words that come to mind.
Yeah, those are good words. Mm-hmm. Good, good words. And I'm curious if, you know, when people start, because now that people are going to listen to this and they're going to be like, okay, now I need to like go see her work. I'm really curious. Like, I want to know what everyone, I agree with you. I do think that your voice comes off that way. So I would agree with you that your introspective self, I think, sees yourself well. So let's talk about those books. Let's talk about the books. So I've already mentioned that you've got three under your belt that you've been a part of. Mm-hmm. One would, you know, really is like more of an, would you call it an anthology? Paint Us Red? Yeah, it's an
like
anthology-ish. Yeah, it's you curated the piece, right? So let's just start. Let's start with that one, and then we'll go into the other one. So Paint Us Red. I really love the thought and the intentionality behind this collaboration. Can you explain to the listeners what that collaboration, curation is, was, why you decided to do it? I just want to know and have you explain to everyone who's never heard of Paint Us Red. Because when I saw it, I thought it was wicked cool. I just thought, oh, that's such a wonderful, you know, collective piece of art. Beautiful theme. So can you just explain Paint Us Red?
Yes, so in the summer, I knew I wanted to write a women's empowerment anthology. And originally, I was just thinking I would just write another book, just me. But then I was thinking, wouldn't it be more powerful to have stories of multiple women from all around the world? And so I got to thinking about how I've been a part of this poetry community for about 3 years. I know a lot of inspiring and great poets who are women. And so I began reaching out to them, asking if they wanted to be a part of this project. And surprisingly, a lot of people wanted to jump on the project, and I was thrilled. I never imagined I would have 18 other women want to be a part of this project with me. And so it was really exciting because I had only ever written solo books before, and this was my first compilation. And so there was a lot of stuff I had to learn how to do. But at the end of the day, I wanted to tell women's stories, the good, the bad, the shared, the unique, all these powerful things that women who live across the world from one another have shared experiences. And I thought that was just what I wanted to capture in this book.
Do you happen to know if, I mean, are the women coming from all different countries? Are they primarily from one country?
There's 7 countries, I believe. There's mostly Canada, and then also the States. There's the UK, there's Sweden, Pakistan, Australia, and oh God, there's one more.
It's always the last one.
I don't know if I can remember it off the top of
It's
my
all
head,
good.
but it's crazy that we got people from all around the world. You're trying to coordinate a Zoom call for all of us to like get to know each other, but the time zones were a nightmare.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, Australia and Pakistan trying to get with like this on the States and Canada. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
That
like
would
one of
be.
us would have had to be awake at 3 in the morning or something.
I've had podcast interviews with people from Australia, and it is always a bear to try and figure that out. Yeah, it's very difficult. It's such a beautiful idea. I mean, I and so, okay, tell me why Paint Us Red? Beautiful title. I gotta know.
Okay, so I remember when I came to this metaphor, I was on the patio in the summer and I was just lost in thought.
Is this
And I
summer
was thinking,
2020? Okay.
I started thinking about this project in like May, June, maybe into July. And then it was published January 1st, 2021. So it was pretty quick turnaround. But anyways, I was sitting on the patio, just lost in thought, and I was thinking about experiences as a woman. And I was thinking about how we're oftentimes blamed for almost anything we do. Like there's so many things like you're too tall, you're too short, you're too like, there's so many things that we get criticized for. We're always blamed. And I was thinking about that and how you could say we were always caught red-handed doing stuff that are perfectly normal and authentic to ourselves, but a lot of people blame us for these things. And so building on the theme of caught red-handed, I was like, paint us red. We're gonna be who we are, so paint us red anyways. And that was like the whole metaphor.
Don't you love how inspiration just.
Yes, I love
Oh, that's my word of the year is inspired. Do you have a word of the year?
Not this year. Last year, I had like my year of authenticity that was like always in the back of my head. But I'm not sure I have a word for this year. Maybe like just like empowerment for myself and for others.
Yeah. I just love how inspiration can find us in the absolute smallest way, in the biggest way. I have, like it's a conversation with somebody sparks it. I looked at a tree the other day in my mom's backyard and it inspired, like in my head, like I just heard this poem. Like I literally just like started writing it in my head. I was like, oh, there it is. And it's so beautiful. I just love to hear the stories behind pieces and just even that title, That's beautiful. And you're wearing red right now.
Yes, how fitting.
It's perfect. It's beautiful. It made me think of the Scarlet Letter. That's what it made
me
think.
Yeah, one of the women actually wrote a poem with that metaphor in this anthology, which I thought was perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a, I mean, that's one of those, if you've never read The Scarlet Letter, first of all, I don't know how you got away with not reading it in grade school. but also, The Scarlet Letter is a fantastic book. I loved The Scarlet Letter. Good book. Can you read some thing from Paint Us Red? Would you mind?
Yes. Of course. I have it right
I'm so
here.
Excited. I'm so excited to have people reading. I love hearing people read their words. I love it. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay, perfect. One day, I was contemplating the world, and I vowed that I was not beyond repair. I dug my feet into the soil, reached deeper with my toes, and let them become roots. Grounding myself, the earth delivered the affirmations I needed for my wounded thoughts to mend. I discovered the courage and clarity I needed to heal and bloom.
Beautiful.
That's the piece.
Love it. All right. And that being said, I want to take a moment. So I'm a yoga teacher, so I'm going to have everyone just close their eyes for a second. Okay, so unless you're driving, then obviously please keep your eyes open. I just want to take a moment here and just settle in those words. And we'll just take a breath in through the nose. And then softly exhaling out of the mouth. Just sinking into that poetic pause. And then we can go back in and open our eyes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I applaud you for bringing all of those voices together. It's really, really beautiful. I encourage everyone, Paint Us Red. I encourage everyone. I will, of course, have all of the links for Cassie's work for you guys to find on the episode page so that you can click them and buy her books and get these juicy words. I love having poetry books just laying around. Also for inspiration, right? Even as a writer, like you read something and, or just as a human, my goodness. Just, I like to have them near, you know, I have this little altar space where I have, you know, my little corner that I can meditate and like tune in. And I love to sometimes just grab any poetry book and just open it up and just, you know, like an oracle card deck and just see what you get. I think it's so beautiful to have poetry books just strewn all over the house. They should just be everywhere.
Yes.
I'm all for that life. Okay, so the next book that I, you know, you're one of those people that you have multiple books here. And you're absolutely right. Holy crap, your turnaround. I feel like you're just pumping them out.
Oh, yes. I did, like, I published my second book in September and then Paint Us Red in January. And I'm taking a little break from writing a book because that was a lot in such a short amount of time.
Absolutely. Are you self-publishing?
Yes, I am self-publishing on Amazon.
Okay, cool. Beautiful. The Amazon.
Yes.
Yes. Mixed feelings on Amazon. I have mixed feelings, you know?
Me too. After doing Paint Us Red, I learned that there's actually a lot of struggles with getting it to people in certain countries, like in Australia, they don't actually have a printing place there for Amazon, so it's super expensive. Or, like, Amazon doesn't work properly in Pakistan, so I sent off a copy for her from Canada.
Wow. Yeah, I thought Amazon went everywhere.
What? I thought that, too.
Oh, my gosh. The Amazon can't, like, what?
I know.
Who knew that had limitations?
I know.
Wow. Well, how is that? You know, I have to ask, how has the self-publishing process been? Because I'm sure there's people listening on here that are thinking about writing a book. I think a lot of people have books in their head, but yes, they just think, I'm not a writer. I can't ever do it. Like, yeah, right.
Who do I think I am? I, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, all of those thoughts. Mm-hmm. I had those thoughts until I woke up. Right? Until I woke up one November morning at 4:30 a.m. and was like, I'm supposed to write a book. And yeah. I literally started that day. Mm-hmm. I digress. So how has the self-publishing route been for you?
I'd say it's pretty successful. When I was writing my first book, I was in like grade 11 and I had no idea where to start at all. I knew I wanted to write a book, but I didn't know how. And so I started doing research and I discovered Kindle Direct Publishing. And the funny story is that a few years before that, I had actually emailed Andy Muir, the author of The Martian, because I was a young aspiring author. And I was like, how did you publish? And he had told me Kindle Direct Publishing. And so it all came like full circle, like 5 years after that email, here I am publishing my books on Kindle Direct Publishing. And I just thought that's such a good story. It warms my heart every time I share it.
And he responded to you?
Yeah, he did. I was shocked. It was like the same afternoon too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone's writing down right now Kindle Direct Publishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's writing that down. I actually haven't heard of that. I don't ever use Kindle. I'm like, so maybe that's why I've never heard of it. I've never been, like, do you use Kindle? Are you a Kindle person?
No, I'm actually not a Kindle person. I chose it because you can print paperbacks without any upfront cost yourself.
Oh, okay.
And because you're not going through any sort of publishing house or anything, you have total creative control. I actually have like one here with all my little sticky notes, but like they make good quality paperbacks, which
cool
was what I wanted. Like I wanted someone to be able to hold it in their hands, not just read it on a screen. Like
oh,
for
yeah.
me, I'm always holding paper books. Like I'm not a digital reader.
Yeah, I feel you. You're either like, I feel like a lot of times you're almost one or the other. You're like, either I want to be like on audio, well, no, maybe like audiobook land / Kindle land, or you're like, give me the tangible book.
Yep.
That I can like wrinkle and bend and like get coffee mm-hmm. on and all the things. Mm-hmm. I live in that camp.
Yep, me too.
I tried to do Audible, and I just have never been able to fully embrace it. I must not be like, I don't know, that must just not, I must need to have the visual, I don't know. It just hasn't worked for me. But there's one thing I just thought of I want to go back to before we go to Wonder of the Cosmos. For Painless Thread, this just popped in my brain. What would you say were like the overall, for people who are curious, okay, yes, we know there's like 18 voices of women coming together. What are the themes that really mostly pull out of that book for people that are like, curious about that one? What is it mostly talking about, or the women, what did they bring to the table?
I really think there's something for everyone in this book. It's divided into five sections. The first one is Caught Red-Handed, and then it's followed by Never Enough. And these first two chapters talk a lot about the challenges that women have faced, hardships, challenges, all these things that we face as women. And so if you're looking for someone to relate to or resonate with for something you're struggling with, those two chapters are for you. Then there's If God Was a Woman. And that's sort of the turning point in the book. It's like, what if? What if the world was better for us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that one is more uplifting. If you're looking for something hopeful, that's the chapter for you. And then there's Rise Together, which is just such an empowering chapter. It's my favorite one. It just makes me feel good because there's so many voices coming together. Like, we can do this. We can rise together as a sisterhood of women. Mm-hmm. And the final chapter is It's a Woman's World, but the W and O of women are in brackets. So it's kind of a celebration of where we've come, mm-hmm. but also an acknowledgement that we're not yet where we should be in terms mm-hmm. of equality.
Mm. You mean, meaning womb. Is that what you're referring
well,
to?
Like, no, it's like woman, like the W and O are in brackets so that man is not.
Oh, right. Okay, got you. See, I heard womb. I always think womb women. That's where
but
I thought you were going.
Good point. I actually also like that. See, you discover new things about your own, like, work as you talk with people about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I get what you're saying, though, now. Yeah, where you come from. Mm-hmm. Thank you for explaining that. I should have asked that, but they came to me after the fact. But either way, we got to it. So thank you for explaining.
Yes.
It's just, I know I already said it, but it is a really lovely thing that you did. Kudos to you for wanting to do that and actually doing it. That was probably a lot of, I mean, the curation and the coordination behind that.
Yes.
Woo, 18, like, ah.
It's a lot.
To anyone who has ever had to manage people and, like, oh my goodness, I'd be like, my eyeballs, oh my gosh, the patience that you must.
Yes, there's a lot of spreadsheets involved.
Yes, absolutely. And that's like for any book, but then when you add in other people's voices.
Yes.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
It was definitely more of a challenge, but very rewarding.
I bet. Okay, so let's transition then to a book that is solely your book, which is Wonder of the Cosmos. So that one, let me see here. That one, again, I kind of want to know like the message, the inspiration behind that one. Where did that one come from?
Let me take you back to January 2020. I had published my debut book the October prior, and I knew I wanted to write another one, but I never had an idea that like felt right. So I was still searching for that overarching metaphor. Like my first book was an overarching metaphor about flowers and growth. And so I was searching for a similar one, but different, you know? And I was actually emailing a teacher of mine who has since become a very good mentor for me. And he had said something about how, like, what are the chances that life came to be? Because, like, we're just tiny specks in the whole universe. Like, we're a wonder of the cosmos. And then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, boom, boom. This is what my book is going to be. And I just went from there that morning. I made the cover for the book. I know a lot of people do covers, like, not first. But I'm always, like, I do the cover first because it, like, sets the tone for the rest of the book. And it went from there, and I knew I wanted to talk about change because that's been a big struggle in my life, and just like wanting to embrace change because it really is the only constant of life, which is ironic, but also quite beautiful. So I wanted to talk about embracing change and through that embracing who you are meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I use a lot of like cosmic metaphors like the stars and the planets and the sky. I've always loved stargazing. I think it's so magical when you drive out of the city, there's no like light pollution, and you just see, like, you can see a branch of the Milky Way. I just think that's so magical.
Right. I have to ask, what's your sun sign?
Aquarius.
Aha. Okay, I can see that. I can see that. Really wanting to like speak to the masses and create like, oh my gosh, it's so funny because you said change. And really Aquarius is very, they're like change makers. They are like the speaking to the masses and wanting to create shifts, and they're about community. I mean, you are living it.
Yeah.
You're living it through your poetry. I mean, it's so beautiful. You're really living it. You're like living, I think, you know, we all come here with, I think we conflate that word purpose. So I don't want to say purpose because I think all of our purposes is really just to be ourselves.
Yeah.
But then from like a yogic perspective, we have like our dharma, right? If you've ever heard that term. And it's like, well, how then do I actually like live out that purpose? If all of our purpose is just to be ourselves, then like, how do I live it out? Okay, that's more like along the lines of dharma conversation. And I feel like you're doing that at such a young age. It's so inspiring that you figured that out and or are at least figuring it out as you go. But it's just, it's very inspiring that you've been able to do that.
Yeah, listening to what you said, it's when I talk about purpose, it's not like I am destined to be a scientist. It's not that. I actually came to quite a simple answer for myself, and it's to be happy. And that encompasses what you said about being yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think purpose with a capital P, I think, is so much simpler, but I think we conflate it with a lot of other things, like dharma and destiny and, you know, my calling, right? I think we end up, we make it a little more complicated than it has to be. Like, your purpose is like, just be you. Just be you. You know? And the happiness and the joy that comes from just radically being yourself and whatever that looks like. Yeah. Okay, so I want to take another poetry pause here. So I'm going to have everyone, again, this is something new I'm starting for this series, this poetic pause. I want everyone, again, if you can, close your eyes. Obviously not Cassie, because she's going to read to us from her book here. But if you have the ability to close your eyes, you're not driving somewhere where you need your eyeballs, go ahead and just close down your eyes again. Let's take a pause. Take a breath through the nose. And then just out of the mouth softly. And Cassie, whenever you're ready.
The universe traces her fingers along my broken ribs. She dries my dark tears when they tickle my cheeks, and I'm frozen in my grief, too exhausted to speak. She whispers in my ear the gentle melody of a sea breeze. It echoes long after she leaves. I hope you find what you are looking for.
And you can open your eyes. Ah, oh, I love that. The first line with the ribs. Beautiful, beautiful. Just, I wish people could just talk to me in poetry all the time.
Yeah.
It would just, like, it's, you know, that's like a love language to me. This is poetry. Beautiful. Okay, so Wonder of the Cosmos. The one that you just read to us, would you say that was your favorite piece? Or do you have another piece that's a favorite piece?
That's a challenge. I have a lot that I love. This was definitely in like the top tier of my favorite from that book. It's the first one of Interstellar Winds, that chapter. But I definitely, Wonder of the Cosmos has a lot of poems that are my favorite.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
I totally get that. It's like asking you who's your favorite child.
Yes.
Not very fair. Okay. Can you hit us with one more from either book? I want to hear one more.
Let me just see. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. My heart is a home to darkness. It dwells and yells when all I want is silence. One day I decided to hear its story a shadow with open arms and an open mind. The darkness changed that day. It ignited into a radiant star. A serene cosmic wonder. Suddenly, I was full of light.
Beautiful. My heart, all it wanted was silence.
Yeah, I love all like the cosmic metaphors in this book because so personal to my connection to the stars.
Yeah. It's curious to me. So they're the writing that you have. I know, you know, there's this, there's another, speaking of hashtag land, there's a hashtag like micro poetry. Mm-hmm. And I noticed you've been sharing more micro poetry. Is that something that's very intentional? Do you feel yourself going in that way? Because the ones you're reading, they feel a little bit longer than what is shared on the IG. Is that a direction you're kind of leaning towards? Is this just an evolution?
I think longer pieces are more well suited to a book than Instagram. I mean, obviously I share some longer pieces on my Instagram, but at the end of the day, I want to reach people. I want them to feel my words, and they seem to respond well to micro poetry.
Yes.
And I also, I love micro poetry as well, because So you wake up in the morning, you open your book, you read 5 lines, and like it sets the tone for the entire day.
Mm-hmm. I totally hear you on that. And it's something I've even, I want to say it's a little bit of a, like, it's like a personal, I don't know if it's a struggle, but I've kind of had that thought in my head that I love long form poetry. Like, I love listening to like a beautiful, like, either listen to like a 4 minute poetry that has like music with it. And you're just like, ah, you're like, mm-hmm. like I'm listening to like Kate Tempest or something. And I'm like, oh, oh, it's yes. so good. And so I feel conflicted, that's the word, because I want to share long form. And yet Instagram is all about the quick hit, right? It's like the quick dopamine hit that we get with Instagram in every way. So I feel this inner conflict.
Yes. Well, I think you should do what fills your soul. If micropoetry didn't speak to me, mm-hmm. I wouldn't post it. And there's a lot of pressure on Instagram to post what you think people will like rather than post what you want to put out in the world. And I think you should stay authentic to your poetic voice. That's what I've learned in my journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone listening to this that wants to be a, you know, is an aspiring writer, it's so true in that space of wanting to be like, well, what do what should I be sharing versus what's actually in my heart that wants to be shared. You know, that's something that is extremely important, I think, for people, not even just who are writers, but even in general. I've been trying to encourage people, you know, I wrote this thing that like came to me that was this kind of a silly little poem. It was called Don't Delete the Post. And it was literally, I did it as a spoken word poem, because how often do we either just not post it at all, or we post it and then we delete something because we're like, oh, wait, people don't want to see that, or that was way too vulnerable. And, you know, I did this whole thing, this little cheeky little don't delete the post spoken word poetry that had a little rhyme with it. But it was like, yeah, that's exactly what I was speaking to, is what's your voice? Like, what do you want to say? Okay, then say it.
Exactly.
However it comes out, whatever form. Yeah, absolutely. But I do agree with you that those little hits sometimes, that's why they're little hits, because as Daniel Laporte calls them, like a truth bomb. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, I got that. Mm-hmm. You get it real quick. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I get that. Thank you for sharing that and explaining that, like, as a writer, like, how you think about that, the structure. Mm-hmm. And it's just a human. So, okay. My last question before I have some rapid fire questions for you, okay? Since this is Self-Care Spotlight, obviously we've already talked a lot about, you know, how writing is healing and poetry in and of itself just as a healing method. And I really see it as a form of absolutely self-care. It's expression. It's, you know, catharsis. Whether, you know, it's journal writing or really any kind. So I ask everyone this question. I've asked people this question for a very long time on the show. Self-care. Very buzz kind of word. Very trendy. Mm-hmm. Talking about hashtags. Holy hashtags. Hashtag self-care. Self-care Sunday. Right? I'm much more about, like, what is the real meaning of that? So, all that to say, what does self-care mean to you?
That's such a good question. I think self-care changes every day based off of what you need personally. But I think most importantly to me, it is balance. I need balance in my life between school, between other commitments, between my writing, and complete, like, rest, downtime, sleep, friend time, like all these things. It needs a balance. And when this balance starts to fall out of place is when self-care starts to kind of crumble down as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's like everything works together to create self-care. It's not one thing. It's not a face mask. It's not like a Sunday afternoon. Those can be part of it if it fills your soul, but it's so much more. It's taking the time to do what you want to do with your life.
Right. So self-care is really just for you, like, it's creating the balance.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, are you ready for rapid fire?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I like my questions I came up with for this series. I'm excited about these.
I'm excited.
All right. I feel like I always want to have the guy from, oh my God, National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation, when she goes, I feel like I need to like put that into the show. I need to get that sound and put it in.
Yes.
That might be copyright though, but anyway. Okay. What time of day or hours do you think that you write your best?
My goodness, probably in the evening, like after I've gone to bed.
So late night.
Late night, yeah.
Okay. What stereotype around poets or poetesses, love that word. I want to be a poetess. What stereotype around poets do you think is true, at least to you?
Oh my goodness. That we write about cliches, but at the end of the day, they're actually true, so it's powerful.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Name an artist or a song that you always come back to. Musical artist or song.
Oh my goodness. This might sound a little weird, but I always go back to the Interstellar like soundtrack because I love movie music. It puts me in the zone.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful soundtrack. I think I've used that in my yoga classes.
It's epic.
What is a book that changed your life or your perspective in a massive way?
Oh my goodness, that's hard. There's so many.
I know.
I would say Aphrodite Made Me Do It. It's a poetry book.
Oh.
And there's just a lot in there that resonated with me and who I am.
That sounds gorgeous. I'm going to look that up.
It's so good.
Everyone else is going to look for it too. I'll try to remember to put that in the show notes, friends. I'll try to remember. Aphrodite Made Me Do It. Okay, last rapid fire question. What's one poetic theme that you think you will always write about till the day you die?
Authenticity.
And there we go. Full circle. Yeah. Okay, so Cassie, please tell everybody where can they get your books, where can they interact with you on the IG, you know, website, anywhere you want to tell them where to go. Spill.
Okay, well, you can find my poetry on Instagram at cm.writer. You can find my books on Amazon just by searching up CM Writer or Cassandra Mackenzie Wood, as well as on Apple Books and Kobo under the same name. You can also find my Etsy store at CM Writer Poetry, and I have a website, which is Cassandra Mackenzie Wood Poetry at GoDaddy Sites.
All right. So I'm going to have Cassie send me a bunch of these, all those links, and I will put them in the show notes so that you can access them with ease. And of course, I'm sure most of these are all on your Instagram as well, that you can find all these fun links for all of the things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I'm curious, you said you're taking a break right now from writing since you've been, you know, churning them out like butter for a while. So is that what's up right now? Or you're just kind of taking a break?
I'm taking a break from book writing, but I'm definitely still writing poetry for myself. Because what I do is I write poetry and then I have like a big pile of it that I can make a book out of, but I've used up all the poems. So I'm taking this time to just write for myself.
Yeah. And I think that's what writing is. I think writing is initially for yourself before it's actually for anyone else.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Like we just said about the whole social media posting, like, you're not posting for someone else. You're posting for you. And then it might touch someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have an inkling about what your next book is going to be about?
I don't, which is unusual for me.
But not bad.
I think again, yeah, it's not bad. It's great. It means there's a lot of potential and a lot of unknowns that I can fill with something beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it will include themes of vulnerability, authenticity, all those beautiful things that speak to my soul.
Right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to make space to talk, to get me back into podcast land. But, you know, I really appreciate that. This was a wonderful first day back at the old podcast mic for me, and the fact that it was your first podcast ever, You did wonderful. And I just appreciate you. I love what you do. I love how you show up in the world. You are certainly inspiring to, I think, a lot of people out there. So keep doing what you do. Keep being authentic. And just thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I was so excited to share my podcast debut with you because I think what you're doing is such a beautiful thing. And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
You're most welcome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for doing the work. Thank you for taking care of yourself. Here's to your poetic healing.
And be sure to check in next Tuesday for my first May conversation in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, where I talk with the phenomenal Asia Mayrock, who has spoken to over 4 million people, worked with the likes of Disney Channel, performed at Madison Square Garden, worked with brands such as Philosophy and Saks Fifth Avenue, and named today's show's Heroes of the Year 2018, just to name a few major accomplishments. We chat about bullying, using your voice, and the journey from girlhood to womanhood with her debut poetry book, Dear Girl.
You can hear more of my poetry and mine and Brad's story on Instagram at Alyssa Cousins, AlyssaKuzins. And please share, rate, and review this podcast should your heart feel called. Thank you.